Welcome to Thrive. Thanks for joining us today as we open up God's Word together, because I so believe that God has something special to say to us today. Now, if you've been following along, you know that we've been in this series in 1 Peter, but today we're going to take a little break, a little time out from that, to talk about just what's going on in our lives and just to kind of take a break to talk about this idea of we need to remember to remember. Memory is an amazing thing, isn't it? And in fact, one of the things we know is that selective memory is a huge challenge, because you'll have a husband and wife, and one of them will remember one thing vividly, and the other one might not remember that event, and you got to show a lot of grace to one another. And if you can show a lot of grace, you can get through moments of selective memory. Now, this does not include birthdays, anniversaries, okay, things like that. This just means that there are moments where something happened and you might remember it or you might not remember it. And we all have that. We all cannot remember everything that's gone on in our lives. We have things we remember and things that we forget. Just simply selective memory. In fact, let's try this. What is the farthest memory that you can go back? Now, for me, when I think back, there was a time when I was between 3 and 4 years old, and I had to have tubes put in my ears. Now, today, that is a very simple procedure. Back in the 70s, that wasn't very simple, and I actually had to be in the hospital for 3 days, I believe it was. And I remember that. Now, my parents bought me this fire truck that I still have from that. And there are moments where I remember that. So somebody from church will say, "Hey, pastor, pray for us. We got to take our kid in. He's got to have this procedure." And we start talking about it. And they say he's got to have tubes put in his ears. And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I've been there." And it used to be really a difficult thing. It was, you had to be in the hospital a few days, and now it's just simple, right? You get it done in a morning, and you're there, and you're back, and you're out, and it's that simple. So this is the idea of selective memory. Do I remember everything that happened at 3 years old? Absolutely not. Remember one thing, and that's about it, okay? And most of us, you know, we remember one thing going way back. We remember some things from elementary school, but we don't remember everything because of selective memory. But you know what? Here's what I found out. That when it comes to God, I tend to have selective memory. I don't remember the times that God came through for me, the times that I thought God wasn't there, but he was there. I just forget those things. I have very selective memory when it comes to God and how God has been there, been faithful, never let me down, always provided for me. But you hit certain moments, and I forget all those things. And I need to do things so that I remember God's goodness and God's faithfulness, because I just have very selective memory when it comes to God. And perhaps you do as well. Perhaps you have that same issue, that same thing, where you're just not very certain. You forget the things that God has done in and through you. It just happens. Well, what do we do about that? So today I want to just read parts of a psalm for us, okay? And it's Psalm 77. And when I came across this psalm, it is simply written by a person who needs to remember. Okay? Now, he has a name in here. Not a very common name. We don't see him appear very often in Scripture. But he's a worship leader. He writes this not only for his well-being, for his good, but he also writes it for you and me. He writes it for us. He wrote it for the Israelites because he knew, hey, if I forget what God does, I bet you might also forget what God does. And he wrote that for the entire nation so they would not forget what God had done. And that means if they would remember that, it would help them in their current circumstances. So I want to read some of this psalm for us today. And we're not going to read the whole chapter. We're just going to read parts of it and just be encouraged to remember what God has done. So here he goes. I will cry out to God and call for help. I will cry out to God and he will pay attention to me. In other words, he's saying, I've already been there, and I know God is attentive. He isn't off somewhere else. He isn't dealing with things elsewhere around the world. He actually can be attentive to me. And he said, that's why I cry out to him. Why I will cry out, because he does, and he will. And this psalmist said, I've been there, and God has always been there for me. He continues, in my time of trouble, I sought the Lord. I kept my hand raised in prayer throughout the night. So let me ask you this. What happens when you can't sleep? What happens when you can't sleep? What do you do? For me, I will put my AirPods in and listen to a podcast. I will go out and just flip channels on the remote and, you know, 3 a.m, what's really on. That's where I tend to go. This psalmist said, you know what I do? I kept my hand raised in prayer throughout the night. Now, why? Now, I want now to give you the times in this psalm that he's going to talk about. Remember, watch. I said, I will remember God while I groan. Obviously, this guy's going through something big. And in his groaning, in his, oh, I can't believe this is going on. I don't know what to do. I don't know what my next step is. I don't know the next thing I should do. He's saying, I'll remember God. You know what I need to do in those moments? I need to remember. I need to remember because I forget. And he says, so I'll remember God while I groan. I said during the night, remember that's during the night when I'm listening to podcasts and flipping a television remote. During the night, I will remember the song I once sang and I will think very carefully. So for him, he was very moved by music. And so he would go back to a song and that would help him. Song ever help you? I've been there. I love music. Music is so encouraging, it's so helpful, and there are songs in different seasons that I believe God gives us, just to encourage us and remind us of who he is, and I need those reminders. And so sometimes that comes on Spotify, sometimes that's the radio in the car where a song comes on, I'm like, oh, I need that. I need that right now. One of the ones I love right now, so I'll throw out a current one. A guy by the name of Torrin Wells, Do What You Are Famous For. Oh, I love it because the song just reminds me God has always been faithful. He will continue to be faithful. He's been faithful. He will continue to be faithful. And that reminds me, God has been faithful to me. He will continue to be that way. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember the amazing things you did long ago. In fact, the psalmist in here is going to give some examples. So some people think this might have been written around the time of David, maybe after. But he's talking about some of those things that God did. And that reflection, that remembering is helping him. He's remembering the works of the Lord. Yes, I remember the amazing things you did long ago. Because God just doesn't do things long ago. He's doing things now, working in lives and hearts now. And he wants to work in your life now. It's not just that God was, God is. He is working, he is doing great things, and he wants to work in your life and in mine. Oh God, your deeds are extraordinary. And what God can compare to our great God? Now, see this little G-O-D? That can be all sorts of things. Now, for the Israelites, that often tended to be idols, statues, that they would put up in places that they would see. The one they turned to the most was an idol called Baal. And they would run to Baal, and they'd put up Baal, and Baal this, and Baal that, and Baal never did anything for them. But for some reason, they went back to that. And this psalmist is saying, what God can compare to our great God? See, nowadays we don't have statues. We have other things that come into our life, take the place of God. We think they can help us. We think those things can help us. We think those things are there for us when we need them the most. And what if those are just these small G-O-Ds? And he says, those cannot compare to our great God. They can't compare. They cannot do for you what God can do for you. You might think for a moment and a short time they're doing what you need to do, but they really can't. He says, do you understand? That's why you need to remember. Because you're forgetting who God is. And you're forgetting what he wants to do. And if you forget that, you are going to miss what God wants to do in your life, because you're going to a small G-O-D looking for help. And I'm just going to tell you, these last 6 months, lots of different things. For some, that's been alcohol. Some, it's been drugs. Some, it's been food. There's all sorts of different things. Marriages are struggling right now, okay? Probably because there's been a lot of small GODs that have come up, and they've caused problems. And instead of leaning into your Heavenly Father, who wants to help you and be there for you and provide for you, you're trying to find something else. But this psalmist says, that can't compare to our great God. That can't compare to what he has done for us. It can't compare for what he's done for you. It can't compare to what he has done for me. So, what do you need to remember? What do you need to remember? That's the question I want you to think about this morning. What do you need to remember about God, about his faithfulness in your life, about maybe in a season before he came through for you? What do you need to remember? Now, what I thought I would do today to maybe help us with this is offer three suggestions. Three suggestions, because perhaps we're not sure what we need to remember, and we're not sure what we need right now, what we need help with. And so I just want to kind of make some suggestions for us, because I need reminders, and I know you need reminders. So let's look through these suggestions of things that perhaps you need to be reminded of right now. Here's the first one. Your life circumstances are not a measuring stick of God's love for you. No, this is a big idea. This is a big idea. Your life circumstances are not a measuring stick of God's love for you. So in other words, right now, if you've lost your job, if you are having health problems, if you are struggling in other ways, what's going on in your life is not the way you know that God loves you or not. It isn't. But isn't it true? I kind of look to that. And I kind of take this gauge in my life going, okay, and here's my day and things are going well, to God loves me. See, perhaps you've thought that. The problem with this is when life goes bad and when life gets hard, we tend to think God doesn't love us anymore. And nothing could be farther from the truth. So I just need you to know that today, that whatever you're going through that has got you to believe that God doesn't love you, it is not true. It's not a measuring stick. The current status of your health, the current situation of your life, what's going on in the world right now, this is not a measuring stick that tells you whether or not God loves you or not. So don't use it for that. In fact, there's two things you really need to know. There's two things you really need to remember. Number one, that God's love is unconditional. And number two, we live in a broken, fallen world. Let's start with the first one. God's love is unconditional. It doesn't go by my conditions. Paul said what? When we were at our farthest points, when we were enemies of Jesus, Christ died for us in that moment. Your farthest point away from God, Jesus died for you, showing how much he loved you. Did that have to do with conditions? Did Jesus say, okay, I'll die for you, but you got to do something different here, okay? Now if you do things different and you kind of clean up your life and you stop doing that other stuff, I'll die for you. No, that's why his love's unconditional. There was no conditions. When we were still sinners, when we were enemies, Christ died for us. No conditions. That means nothing you can do could make God love you any less, and nothing you could do could make God love you any more. See, my love, your love, you've experienced this, has been conditional. It's been based on what has happened to us or hasn't happened to us. That love has been conditional. And then the second one, this is so important. Jesus tried to teach this when he walked the earth. In fact, the disciples, they pointed out some things. They pointed out a man who was born blind and said, okay, who sinned? Come on, we know somebody sinned. And he goes, no, nobody sinned. This happened that God's glory would be revealed in his life. So what is Jesus saying? No. This world's broken, fallen, and messed up ever since Genesis 3. And so much of what we experience is that. So why, if we live in a broken, fallen world, do we look up and think it is somehow proof that God does not love us? When we ram into that broken and fallenness, and we are watching it on display right now. The last 6 months have all been about broken and fallen. But if you don't know that, if you forget that, oh, it is a struggle, isn't it? It's a struggle because you thought it told you something about God. And it didn't. It just told you something about our world. God's love is unconditional. It never changes. And perhaps, I'm just telling you, I forget this. You might forget this too. Perhaps you forgot that you are loved. Second thing, it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. I have said this before to the people of our church, and I'm so glad you're watching today, because maybe you didn't know this was true, that it's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. This is really important. This is really important because a lot of people end up pushing themselves away from God because they're like, oh, God just, no, he knows who I am. He knows what I do. When I get things straightened up, I can't tell you how many times people have told me this, okay? I'm gonna quit smoking. I'm going to, you know, stop viewing things I shouldn't be viewing on the internet, right? I'm going to do all these things, and once I stop doing those, I will come to church, because I'm afraid if I come to church now, I'll walk in, the place will fall down. Why? Because we forget this. It's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. Come on. We as pastors, we forget this. It's okay. We sometimes think, I got to put on this picture of, I got it all together, I'm perfect, I got this. And sometimes we just walk in and we're like, yeah, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. That's all right. Just don't stay there. Don't be stuck in that place. God doesn't want you to be stuck in that place. It's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. Jesus had encountered once with a man. And he had been in a certain state for a long time. And he asked this question, do you want to be well? See, if you don't want to move forward, then your answer to this question is, no, I don't want to be well. I just want to be stuck where I am. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? Then it's okay not to be okay. Just don't stay there. Get the help you need. And I know it's really a challenge right now, right? It's really a challenge. I know people who have been trying to get help. I knew people that was before all this hit, they were getting help. They were meeting with a counselor. They were making progress, and whap, it all stopped. And then they had to look at a screen, and they struggled until they were able to again move forward. And it was hard and it was difficult because the whole process started with, I want to get well. I want to get well. And so they didn't want to stay in their not okay state. They wanted to move forward. Do you want to be well? Then just learn it's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. Last one. We were not created to do life alone. This is really important. The last 6 months have been hard because they have, in many cases, isolated us. Now, things got better, okay? And I know that's not true in some places, but for us here in the Midwest, things have got better. We could do some things. We could get out. We could, you know, do things together. We've started in person again because we know how important it is. But this is what we're trying to figure out even more. See, because we were not created to do life alone. And for many of us, we've just felt isolated, separated, all by ourselves. And that is not what God wants for us. But it's where a lot of us ended up, isn't it? It's where a lot of us ended up. Like, how did we get here? Because we weren't created to do life alone. But we ended up there. And that's where you gotta understand, we as a church are truly trying to figure this out so that if this happens again, which it could, we're ready to help people not be so isolated, to not be so separated, but have places of connection and places of contact. So I want you to know we are working on that. You don't have to do life alone because you weren't created to do life alone. And we're trying to figure out a way is how do we help? Even in situations where we can't meet in person, how do we do that in groups? How do we do that virtually? And I know it's not the best, but it is a way to connect. And a lot of times, sometimes we can't the best or we don't understand technology, we shut down. Don't do that. Don't do that. See, you weren't created to do life alone. In fact, King Solomon's wisest man who ever lived, do you know what he said about people who are alone? And this is a hard place to be. And I think we've seen a lot of that currently. He says, pity the person who falls down and has no one to help him up. He says, that's terrible. And I think we've seen it a lot. People have felt so alone and nobody to help them up that they ultimately, for some, took their own lives. What just a horrible thing that happened. But for some reason, they felt they're struggling and they feel like they're all alone and nobody understands and nobody they thought was going to help them when they fell down. That's why you don't want to be in that place. And that's why God created the family of birth. And for some of you, that's just not a good situation. And it's been a struggle for you. And that's why he created the family of new birth, the church, so that we could gather together, so that we could help and encourage and support one another, because we were not created to do life alone. And you need someone to help you when you fall. Not if you fall, when you fall, that you have someone to help you up so that you don't fall all by yourself. So what do you need to remember? This morning, you just remember that God loves you, that your current circumstances are not a measuring stick of how much God loves you. Perhaps you just need to be reminded, hey, it's okay not to be okay. I just can't stay in that place. Or perhaps it's just simply a reminder, I wasn't created to do life alone. And that our Heavenly Father has provided something called the church where we can connect together. And if we got to find ways to do that virtually, we're going to find ways to do that virtually, to help one another get connected so that we don't do life alone. Let me leave you with this thought. Forgetting who God is and what he has done erodes the foundation of our faith. And for many, the foundation got eroded because we just forgot who God is. And we forgot what he has done. Both what he's done in our life and what he has done throughout the years. So, can I just pray for us today? May I pray for you? That where you are and what's going on in your life, that you would know who God is. That he loves you, he created you. That you are not a mistake, that you are not an accident. And that he wants to remind you who he is. And perhaps you've forgotten over this time. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for those who the last 6 months have been really hard. They have brought a lot of fear. They brought a lot of uncertainty. people who have buried loved ones, people who have struggled with addiction, people who feel like they are all alone. Somewhere along the way, we forgot. We forgot who you are. We forgot what you have done. We forgot previously how you've worked in our life and that you will continue to do that. We let our circumstances be the measuring stick. Help us never to do that again. We forgot this world is broken and fallen and messed up, but that you love us unconditionally, that you want us to be well, and that you'd never want us to do life alone. So help us. Put people in our life who we can connect with, who will love us and help us so that we never fall alone. But we have somebody to help us up. Continue to work no matter what we're going through, no matter what our circumstances. May we always be reminded who you are and what you've done in our lives. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today. Next week, we're going to go back to 1 Peter. We're going to be in our series again. We hope you'll take time and join us. Thank you for being here. ThriveIndianola.com. Go to our website. Get connected with us. We would love to connect with you. Have a great week.